Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, God. We magnify you, Jesus. We sing unto you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Do you feel good in the house? Amen. God is good. If you would stand with me, if you're able to, if you're not already, turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Amen. Anybody ready for fall? Man. I know that means it's going to be winter, but still. Those who are booing, come mow my grass, please. Thanks. All right, Ben will be over. I got to pick you up. There we go. Amen. I'll get one of your trucks, and I'll just have Ben sit on the back holding my push mower, and I'll just drive your truck around my yard. Go a lot faster. Amen. Exodus chapter 30. You see everything and anything on the internet. I saw that. It wasn't effective, but it'd be faster than pushing. Amen. Exodus 30, verses 23 through 25. It says, "Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil." Then I'm also going to read one more scripture, Ecclesiastes 10:1. This will be on the screen. "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." Amen. This morning I want to speak on the subject, the enemy of the anointing. The enemy of the anointing. Let's put our Bibles down and just ask the Lord to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds this morning. We thank you, God, for the presence that we feel, Lord, in this place. Lord, we can have fun in your house, Lord. We can rejoice in your house. We can sing. We can magnify, Lord, you in this house. But Lord God, it also is a house of Lord, conviction, a house of where you deal with our hearts, where you stir us, where you change us, where you mold us into your image, into the purpose and plan that you have for our lives. And I pray, God, mold us this morning. Let this word, Lord, penetrate our hearts and spirits, Lord. Speak to us in our individual circumstances. And Lord God, I pray we give you all the glory, all the honor, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Our opening scripture is found in the book of Exodus. If you're familiar with that book in the Bible, you know that it conveys the story of how God delivers his people out of Egypt and is leading them to the promised land. Toward the end of the book, Exodus, God begins to communicate to Moses how he wants everything set up. If you want some light reading, this is a great area of the Bible, along with Leviticus, because it's just detail after detail after detail after detail. And it's like your eyes start to cross as you know, I want the tabernacle to be this size and this, and it's not, you know, feet and inches. You know, that wasn't a system back then. It's shekels and it's hins, and you know, and then you're like, okay, what is actually that? Then you have to look it up, and you know, or you just ignore it and say, God, I believe you. And so details such as, you know, the dimensions, what the walls should be made of, this type of fur, because that's very important, and what the furniture should be made of, how it should be made, how it should be covered. And God also talks about the priests, what they should wear, how their role functions within the community. And then we come to chapter 30, and God gives instructions to Moses about making the anointing oil. This was a precious substance. The recipe was given to Moses by God, the exact measurements. We read that this morning, the spices that should be used. It didn't say anything about oregano in the anointing oil. No, cassia, calamus, and cinnamon. You know, if you want red pepper flakes, sorry, that's not going to be in the anointing oil. No heat, because you're not going to be drinking it. So, you know, you don't need that. But there was specific things, and there was also some specifics on how it should be used, how to make it. You don't just throw everything together, but in the art of the apothecary. And if we read further down it in chapter 30, we find that this oil was to be used to anoint the things of God. This anointing would consecrate them, that they would be considered holy. They were to anoint the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, the bronze laver, the candlestick, the Ark of the Covenant, and as well as the priests of God. Later on in the history of Israel, the children of Israel use this same anointing oil to anoint the prophets, the kings. We remember the story of David, who, when he was anointed by Samuel, the horn of oil poured on his head, and that was the same substance, as it was a precious, and it consecrated things to God. We also read that it wasn't something to be played around with. Later in chapter 30, it specific talks about not pouring it on just anyone, not playing around with the whole anointing oil, but only those specific people that God had called for it to be poured onto. Also, if anyone but the approved makers made it and tried to imitate it, tried to fake it, tried to make their own, they were to be cut off and sent away from the nation. It was that serious to God. It was a mark of power and of holiness and God's call. Fast forward to today, we can see that the anointing oil of the Old Testament was a type of the infilling of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. Thank God we don't come to church and, you know, we say, all right, come forth. I have my bottle of anointing oil. Sorry, you wore your really nice shirt today. But you want to be anointed of God, and we pour oil on you all over your body. And it wasn't just a little dab. We do anoint with oil as Scripture instructs us for if someone is sick, but we don't pour the bottle of oil on you. We don't let it drip from your beard like it did in Aaron's day and then all the way down your coat and down to your feet. No, we are, thank God, we don't have to get our heads anointed with oil to signify God's call on our lives. No, we don't have the physical anointing of oil, but rather the spiritual anointing of God's Holy Spirit moving into our lives. The Bible tells us that we know we've received that anointing, that we've received the Holy Ghost when we speak with a heavenly language as the Spirit gives us the utterance. Today we're anointed. We're called out to be a separate people, dedicated unto God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have an anointing in our lives today. And I would interject here, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you've never had the power of God anoint your life, at the end of this service, with this custom here that we gather together at the front, if you are interested, and we pray and we talk to the Lord and we speak to him, and he speaks to our hearts. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, he will fill you with this Spirit this morning. He will anoint your life for his purpose, for his plan, will bless your life, will give you power to overcome. Amen. And I would encourage you to come forward later at the end of this service. Now, we understand what the anointing oil was about, so let's read our second scripture again, Ecclesiastes 10:1. Dead flies cause the anointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. The scripture makes the point of how small negative things can ruin our reputation. And it drives it home by comparing it to how a dead fly will cause the anointing oil to stink. By using that comparison, we can deduce that the children of Israel were very familiar with the concept of flies getting into the anointing oil. It must have been an ongoing issue back then. And so that's why they could use that statement in this statement about small things ruining our reputation. The anointing oil was made of some interesting ingredients. Myrrh was one, which is a very fragrant and good-smelling spice. Cinnamon and calamus were two other ones. Cinnamon gave it a sweet smell, and calamus added a sweet taste to the oil. So you can see why they had fly problems, since flies are attracted to fragrant things, to sweet things. And the problem was that the flies would get into the anointing oil, they'd get stuck, they'd die, And what was once sweet-smelling, a pleasing aroma, became a stinking, stinky mess. Undoubtedly, they'd have to throw it away because you're not going to, like, you know, come on, come forth. I shall anoint you with the oil, with flies and all, and you will stink for the rest of your life. I'm sorry. No, undoubtedly, they would have to throw it away, get their supply filled. Maybe if they were low on supply, the apothecary would have to go back and make more and make it and mix it and get it back to the ones who are anointing. I've come to communicate to you today that there are flies buzzing around our lives that want to mess up the anointing of God in our lives. The result of these flies is a life that stinks and is not pleasing to the Lord. There is an enemy of the anointing. There are many flies that could destroy our anointing, and most likely what fly tries to get into my anointing is, it may very well be different than the ones that are buzzing around in your life. Let's identify a few. This is not an exhaustive list, but just to get you a glimpse of what I'm thinking about, and we'll move forward. But flies can be the voice of this world, lies spun by the enemy in such a way that we think it's ourselves that's coming up with those thoughts. Lies such as I'm worthless, lies such I'll never amount to anything, lies such as I can't overcome that adverse behavior, lies such as I wasn't born into the right family, God doesn't love me. Flies can also come from the relationships that are in our lives. Someone that we want to please that adversely affects our relationship with Jesus. Maybe it could be just a group of friends who aren't interested in serving God, but they want to spend all their time hanging out, doing other things. And maybe it's not sinful things, but just, you know what, let's do all this other stuff. But there's never conversations about God, never conversations, never things, never getting involved in the work of the Lord. But hey, we're hanging out, we're best buds, we go to church even. Could just be a group of friends. Flies can come from the consumption of media. We may wake up and get on Snapchat or Instagram first thing in the morning. We binge watch Netflix or Amazon Prime movies. We continually play video games. We listen to the latest and greatest hit song, no matter the content. And that can produce flies in our lives. Flies can also come from spiritual things. We can seek the supernatural and the extraordinary, the depths of spiritual power, but without a spiritual covering and authority in our lives, we can go down a path, a dark path, without realizing it and think we are in touch with something so spiritual beyond anyone else. Flies, the enemy of our anointing, can come into our lives in so many ways. There's a reason that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What a scripture. Just, you want one scripture to start living by as a principle base. Take this scripture and analyze everything that you do through that. Is this media, is it pure? Is it of a good report? Is it lovely? Is it honest? Does it have virtue? Or does it make me feel negative about myself? I may have mentioned this once before. I don't remember. Not in my notes, so I didn't look it up. But, I did remember. I sang Chicago. Those songs, Boys to Men, you know, all those songs. Some of them weren't bad songs, but it drove. I realized finally, this is driving me emotionally somewhere that I don't want to go. And there were flies buzzing around. And so, is it pure? Is it honest? It might not be bad, but is it helping me? Is this media, is this relationship, is these things in my lives, are they helping me? And so just a quick scripture, and this could be a whole message of how do we combat the flies, but this one scripture, Philippians 4:8, read it, study it, put it down, write it down, and start using that as a principle guide for your life. Why? Because there is an enemy that wants to destroy our anointing. Have you ever got a fly in the house? If you haven't, well, you have missed out. Right after having a mosquito get in the house, which is smaller and harder to find and annoying, that especially at night, you lay down and it's like, And I've got issues with my eyes. I got keratoconus, so don't ask. But anyways, I can't see very well, and so it's up to Fiona to find the mosquitoes at night. Turn on the light. I do the smashing. She does the finding. We're a great team. But it's one of the most annoying things to have flies in the house. A fly lands in our natural away from my food. Our natural way is to shoo them away. Away. Go on, get out of here. What does the fly do? It's like, zoo. It's got the eyes that can see in the back of, you know, behind itself. I mean, it's a strategy, getting flies. But, you know, it sees you coming just that shoo, and it's just like, whoop. Flies away. Back. And it just comes right back. In the same vein of thinking, being nonchalant spiritually will not work to get the enemy of our anointing away. Shooing away the enemy may get them away for a moment, but they'll be right back at the same spot in our lives. You ever try to drown a fly? It's another way to get rid of flies, albeit a little more time-consuming, and it takes a little more skill to capture the fly to drown it. But it is possible. I don't know if someone, I think yeah, Alicia and Becca were there. James was there. But we were at the Thompson's house, and Brother Thompson wanted to show us how you could drown a fly. And so we drowned a fly. He caught one. He drowned it. It was lifeless on the plate. And he said, wow, this is amazing. He's like, now watch this. He began to pour salt on the fly, coated the fly. And we're like, yeah, this is... And he tried to use some, you know, spiritual and just like the Holy Ghost will raise you to new life. Yeah, I'm going to use it in a negative way here. But sure enough, you let it sit there for a few minutes. You brush off the... I have video of it. I didn't capture the exact moment, but I have video of it. All of a sudden, zzz, like, what in the world? Zzz. And then literally a few minutes later, phew, it took off. It was seemingly dead, not moving, just laying there, but it took off flying around. That happened that day. I saw it with my own eyes. You can talk to Ben Thompson. I am not making this up. I didn't find this on Google or Wikipedia. No, we experienced it. We may try to drown out the enemy of our anointing. We ignore them. We shut them out. Those lies that come against us. We say, you know what? I'm just going to tuck it away, close the door. And we shut it out from being in the forefront. We may even come to church and drown it out with church, with family camp that we were just at, with worship that we experienced this morning. But if we simply try to drown it out, we're not dealing with the problem. The fly will come back. It will revive. For example, if we are dealing with the lies of enemy telling us how worthless we are, drowning it out with church and worship doesn't answer the question of our worth. And on down the road, someone or something will revive that old fly, that old lie in our minds. And it'll be like, oh man, I thought I overcame this. I've been just ignoring it and just proclaiming it. But we've never dealt with it. We've just been trying to drown it out. All good spiritual things sometimes. But we may be just trying to drown it out, which a fly can come back from drowning. So how do you deal with a fly? It's when you finally get sick of the buzzing and the annoying dive bombing and it landing on your food while you're trying to eat that you take the action required. You grab a fly swatter or magazine and you smash the fly. My favorite object is something that's lightweight, kind of like a magazine, but it has a little more firmness, not quite like the iPad, but just it can bend. Then I get two hands. I annoy the fly so it starts, zzz, gets really fast. And then I just, it's kind of like a sport, you know, just, all right, connect and go, poof, and that unmistakable connection that you know you just nailed it. It's like, poof, coming full force at you, and you hit it the other way. It's like a home run. You know, your baseball dreams in action, just poof, find a napkin and grab it and you go, poof, I have conquered the fly. My job's done. Honey, I saved your life. The fly is no longer buzzing in the house. We have to be determined to kill the flies in our lives. We can't patty cake it. We can't be soft and accommodating. We have to take the offensive in Jesus' name and kill the flies in our lives. If it's the lie of worthlessness, let's use that example again. How do we kill it? We do a scripture study. Bishop has taught us this over the years and years. We do a scripture study. We memorize those key scriptures. We write them down if we're not a memorizer. Someone who can memorize, a memorizer. It's a new word. We put it in our pocket, a little card, whatever we have to do. And then when the fly lie comes and whispers, "Phil, you're worthless." You say, "No, I'm not, because the scripture says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, so get out of here." Now it may come back. You got to do it again. It could become a sport. "Yeah, right, you're not going to get me this time." Nail it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have to kill the flies. We can kill them in our lives, but if the environment is right in our lives and we've allowed the breeding ground in our lives, another fly is just going to pop up. And we'll expend our energy killing flies left and right, and eventually one may slip through. So it's important that we get to the source and root it out of our lives. Sister Linda's going to know this, but I lived in Germany, and they take recycling to a whole nother level. You know, we got plastic and cardboard recycling and then regular trash. No, Germany's got like 50, I don't know, maybe they're not anymore, they got tired of it, but they even had a biodegradable recycling. What's that? That's basically banana peels, potato peels, anything that will just rot. You wrap it up in newspaper and throw it, and it had a trash bin. And you wanted to get that trash bin out to the trash because it was nasty, like gross, like the nastiest of your trash was in that trash can. Well, one week I forgot. I think it was my job. It was Joel's job. We'll blame my brother. He forgot to take the trash out. And this biodegradable, because again, it's everyday kitchen stuff and you can't just store it up in your house. We had it right by the front door. We would cook or whatever. We'd wrap it up in newspaper and it would just drop it right there. It wasn't in the garage. It wasn't outside. No, it was right by the front door, easy access, but we don't want it in the house because it's nasty. So we forgot. It's also grass clippings. Everything goes in. I mean, it's just nasty. And later that week, I think it came every 2 weeks or something like that. So now it's almost 4 weeks have gone by of nastiness. And I went out to take something, and I've never seen this before. I was, I don't know, 13. And opened up, and it was full, and there were maggots everywhere. Like, I like about barfed, and, you know, we haven't eaten, so we're good. Hopefully no one's snacking in church, because you might close your ears. But anyways, there was maggots everywhere. It was just so nasty. Well, I didn't know what maggots resulted in or where they came from. I was like, this is disgusting. And then I go out like a day later, open it up, and it's just like bzzz, this swarm of flies. I'm like, what in the world? That's where I learned that maggots turn into flies. Flies love to lay their eggs near feces or rotten food or piles of trash. This way, when the eggs hatch, the maggots come out. They have a food source right away. So the maggots were like, potato peels, yummy, yummy. It's like one of those memories you just, anyways. Then the maggots pupate and the maggots become flies. This world is filled with trash. The ideas of this world are filth. The lifestyles that are promoted are sickening. Godly morals are oftentimes non-existent. And from the world, that trash will bring flies into our lives. And that's when we have to get tough, kill them, as they try to kill our anointing. But there's no way not to be exposed by this world 100% of the time. And so that's where we need the Word of God. We need to have the determination that, you know what, if something from the world comes in, it's not coming into my home. It's not coming into my mind. And we have to get aggressive and have our spiritual fly swatter ready and not let those flies stay around long. But there's another source of trash in our lives. when we've had the biodegradable trash mishap, it was disgusting and overwhelming to have a breeding ground for maggots and flies right outside our front door. Talk about flies getting in the house. If we're not careful, we could be accumulating trash in our lives ourselves. And while we're blaming the outside world and the sin of this world, it's really what's in our hearts and what activities we take part in and what relationships we've allowed into our lives that is the source of the flies. We have to rid our lives of the garbage. We do that through repentance. Repentance is turning our lives toward the direction of God. Oftentimes we don't even know what that garbage is. And so we just need to continually on a daily basis get on our knees and we can ask the Lord to clean us out and to show us what we need to get rid of. God, what is it in my life that is a trash heap? Maybe it's just a small area, but it's just festering with maggots and flies. I don't want flies in my life, God, so take the trash out of my life. I don't want my anointing to be destroyed by the trash in my life. We have to be careful of the enemy from this world, but we also have to be careful of the enemy we open the door to in our lives and allow to sit right outside our door. Why were flies such an issue? Scripture told us because they got into the anointing oil, they died, and they made what was sweet and have a positive aroma and made it stink. Did you know that we give off a spiritual smell to the Lord? Throughout Scripture, oftentimes that's how it's described. In Genesis 8:21, after Noah and his family came out of the ark and built the altar, and remember, this is God destroyed the world with the flood because the world was wicked and evil, and he calls Noah out and says, build an ark and do all this crazy stuff that no one's going to understand, but preach the word and try to save souls. He saved his family, and so here, just a small group of people, he gives an offering to the Lord, and it tells us how it describes that offering as a sweet smell to the Lord. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and he said, you know what? I'm never going to curse the ground anymore for man's sake. On and on. It gets God's attention if our lives are sweet-smelling spiritually. He works in our lives. He moves on our behalf. But if there's a stench spiritually, it gets his attention as well. But not to bless us, not to anoint us for his purpose. No, it turns him away from us, and he removes that hand of protection and blessing from our lives. Thank God he's merciful. We think about the city of Nineveh. It was a wicked city in the Old Testament, and God specifically called Jonah to say, go to Nineveh and repent. Now, the whole story is, you know, about him running away from God's calling. It's Josiah's favorite story because he gets eaten by a fish, you know, and he's in the belly of the whale for 3 days, gets spit out, you know. But that story is really about Nineveh. They had let flies were infesting them spiritually. They stunk so bad, and it got God's attention. But God is not going to say, all right, going to wipe you off. No, he gave them a chance and said, you know, you need to repent. You know what? Nineveh did. The entire city repented of their sins. And this is what flies can do in life. It will ruin the anointing. It will be off-putting to our God. And I don't want to have dead flies in the anointing and the Holy Ghost and my spirit causing my life to stink before the Lord. But there is hope today. There is a call of God today. If the musicians can come. Come today to some simple questions for you to ask yourself. Are there flies buzzing around my life? Again, look back, and that list was not exhaustive, but hopefully it sparks something. Is it a lie that you keep listening to? Is there something negative that you constantly think about yourself? Can I tell you the enemy will lie to you all day long, and you'll start to believe it so much that you think that's exactly how I am. That has to be the case. You have no clue that it's an external demonic attempt to take down your life. Maybe it's just a voice in your life. If you're thinking something negative, I want to challenge you to say, God, show me scripture to either prove this negative thing or disprove it. Whether you think it's actually you or not, I challenge you. Say, God, is this a fly in my life? Maybe there's a relationship that, you know, is fine and there's nothing seemingly negative, but it's not lifting you up. It's not encouraging you to go farther in the Lord. Maybe you need to lay that down next to Scripture and lay it to the Lord and say, is this a fly? Are there flies buzzing around my life? Another question is, do I have a trash pile at my front door that is breeding flies and destroying myself? Have I let things into my home, whether it's media or whether it's actions that we do and partake in an adverse behavior, an addiction that we have? Another question, am I just shooing away the flies? Am I trying to drown them out with God, with the Spirit of God, with the worship, with the going to church, and I'm just trying to drown them out? I tuck them away in, but I'm not really dealing with them. And so they are still creating flies that are messing up what God wants to do in my life. Am I not taking things seriously? Oh, Pastor Phil, it's okay if I partake in this media. It's not a big deal. So-and-so does. He watches so much worse things on Netflix. Why compare yourself? Why compare yourself? Because that doesn't mean anything. If they're on the far spectrum, that doesn't mean you're doing okay. We have to analyze ourselves before the Lord. If you've never experienced the anointing of God in your life, God is calling you to repent today. We can ask the Lord to take out the trash, so to speak, and allow Him to move into our hearts. God, I'm tired of all this negativity in my life. I'm tired of the depression. I'm tired of the addiction. I'm tired of waking up on another Monday morning and saying it's a whole another week and I have to face the same things all over again with the same struggles, the same circumstances. God, I'm tired of there being issues and conflict in my home and my family. God, what is it that is in me? God, what do I have to do to change? What trash do I have to give to you to take care of for me? If you've never experienced the anointing of God, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, today God wants to fill you, wants to change your life. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, man, baptism is about washing away all that sin. We repent. We say, God, I want to turn toward your direction. The Bible says if we repent, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He'll forgive you. And then what we do, we go down in the waters of baptism right behind this wall. There's a baptismal tank. And you know what? You can be baptized and all that junk is washed away. That's Him taking out the trash. And that's a symbolic. You go in the waters and you're washed clean, a brand new creature. But maybe you've had the Holy Ghost for some time or a little bit of time and there's some flies in your anointing oil. Maybe deep down you know your anointing, your spirit has been tainted by this world. God is calling you this morning to empty yourselves out. Don't try to use that anointing because it stinks. It stinks. You ever come across someone who just has something, there's something off. They're exuding a stink and they're trying to pour out stuff that has flies in it. And if God is showing you that this morning, just empty it out before Him. Say, God, refill it. I know it's a big process to do, God. The apothecary had to take the spices and grind them up and intermix and infuse them with the oil. There's a process, but God is so willing. God has a spirit and abundant supply. And if you say, I'm dumping out this used stuff and I'm gonna come to you, God, to get refilled. So I have that sweet, fresh anointing once again in my life. God has a purpose and a specific plan for each and every one of us. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We need that anointed touch to guide us through this life. If you would stand with me. As I said before, this area up front is our custom to come forward and pray. Talk to the Lord. There will be folks who will pray with you, ask what your need is. Maybe you just need to come to get a touch of God. Maybe you need a healing touch in your body. Come, please come down. and seek the Lord. Let this message penetrate your heart and ask God. Be serious about it. Don't just say, yeah, I'm going to shoot away. No, say, God, is there something? All those questions. So as they begin to sing, won't you come, find a place to pray. Ask the Lord to speak to your hearts, minister to your hearts right now. Won't you come?